Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Welcome, everyone. Okay, this is the Haftorah for Parshas Bamidbar, page 1180. And I have to tell you that I kept on wanting to do Rus instead, but I decided I'll have to stick to this. Well, it's not that I have to. I love to do Rus, but the Haftorahs are beautiful, and you have to do, you know, that's what we learn. And so I was debating, should I, shouldn't I? Well, I'll let the class decide. But we wouldn't be able to really finish Rus. We would just be able to touch it. So the Haftorah hopefully will do. The Haftorah has a beautiful theme, even though the words of the Haftorah can be a little rough. Haftorah, the prophets gave rebuke. And we've talked about this, that in the ideal world, we should want to hear when we do something wrong, and we should love to have people that come and tell us that we've messed up and we need to fix something. What happened is that we don't listen to our prophets. When somebody tries to tell us we've done wrong, we tend to throw eggs at them or not to listen to them. And therefore, the system changed. But in the ideal world, it would be great if we could have prophets who tell us when we've done wrong. And they sometimes spoke in a very harsh way. That's to get attention or to... one of the very interesting themes of the Haftorah is that the relationship between us and Hashem is like husband and wife. That's going to be one of the themes. And that's a Shavuos theme, by the way, which is really interesting because on Shavuos... that's when the Jewish people got the Torah, or we became Jewish, basically. We accepted upon ourselves a relationship. In the story of Rus, it's really a conversion, because she became, that's the story of how she became a Jewish person. Shavuos is how we, becoming Jewish means that we're in a relationship with God. And so the relationship on Shavuos, we have a tradition that Hashem held the mountaintop over us. That was the chuppah. And we count sevens, you know, we're the, just like the bride goes around the groom seven times, we count the seven times till we get to the chuppah. And we basically said, I do. Na'aseh v'nishma means I do. Whatever you say, I'm in. What's really interesting, the final verses of this Haftorah, which we'll skip because we'll get back to on 21, is V'arustikli la'olam. I am engaged to you. You are my, Hashem is our partner forever. And that's it. We say these words, men say them when they put when they wind the tefillin around their ring finger. And they wear the tefillin are like a ring. They ring it around their finger. That's our engagement ring. In other words, the custom is to, you know, they wear the tefillin ring. They say these verses because we are in this relationship with Hashem. Now, when a person is married, then there's three partners. There's the husband, the wife, and Hashem. But we view, just like marriage is meant to be an eternal partnership, but our partnership with Hashem is eternal, and there's a commitment on both sides, and that's the metaphor for our relationship with Hashem. It's no coincidence that on one side it says do not commit adultery, and directly opposite is do not commit idolatry. Just like a person has to be loyal to their spouse and not commit adultery, they have to be loyal to our God and not worship idols and worship strange gods. It's that same loyalty to our partner, and Hashem is everyone's partner. And we took place on Shavuos, and there are many connections that people find between the Shavuos, and they describe it as the wedding of Hashem to the Jewish people. So it's actually very interesting that this Haftorah has that metaphor of the husband and wife. When you do the end, sometimes the beginning doesn't seem so harsh, because the end tells you where we want to go, which is that you're mine forever. But then we'll get to the rebuke and the. But it's interesting on verse 21. That's the very last verse. You're mine forever. And what's the basis for our relationship? What's the base? You know, we talk about being chosen. You choose your spouse, right? You choose who you're going to marry. We were chosen by Hashem. Hashem chose us to have this unique relationship. The basis for our relationship is Tzedek, Mishpat, Chesed, Urachamim, which is justice, kindness, love, and mercy. Those are the... And then finally, Vasil Bemuna, and I am connected with you with faith, and I know Hashem and knowledge of Hashem. So it's that concept is a beautiful concept that we have in life. We have our relationship with our spouse, and we have our relationship with Hashem. And Hashem is that partner that's always there with us, and we try to be loyal to him, and he's loyal to us, and he takes care of us. And that's a common metaphor in Tanakh. In fact, there's a place when the first exile started, the Jewish people thought they were divorced, like God sent us away. And the prophet says, where's the paper? You know, where's the... It was more like a separation. We view that as like, sometimes people need a timeout. Today's separation is a different story. That's, they go, they live in different... But sometimes you need to have space a little bit or whatever. That's a... So we view the exile to some extent like a little bit of a separation. We're not living in the palace together with our spouse. We pray towards him, but we don't have that intimate connection that we once had. But we're still married. Just because two people aren't in together in the same place doesn't mean they're not married. And that's really the end of the Torah. But that's going to be the theme, is one of a marriage. Before we get there, though, the Haftorah begins with the following. On page 11, V'hayo mispar b'nei Yisrael, and the number of the Jewish people, k'chol hayom asher lo yima v'lo yisapir. He's referring here to the number of the Jewish people. The Parsha deals with counting the number of the Jewish people. And so therefore the Haftorah also tells us that the number of the Jewish people you can't count. They'll be beyond measure. And v'hayu amakam asher yomer lehem, and there were times where God said to us, lo ami, you're not my people. So therefore, Atem Yomer, now you will say to the Jewish people, B'nei Chalchai, you are my people. In other words, during the times of the exile and of the dispersion, people felt like we weren't Hashem's people. So the message of the prophet was, tell them that you are my people. There's an idea that Hashem got angry with us, or we weren't worthy of being Hashem's people at some point, and the message was that no, you are my people.
But he did get angry with us.
Yes, we deserved it.
Yeah,
correct. So the real part of this has to do with a story. He actually brings it in the footnotes over here. It's in the previous chapter. Hosea, that's who this Haftorah is the one who wrote the Haftorah. It's really interesting what happened was that the Jewish people, especially the 10 tribes, were going down a slippery slope. And no matter what, even Elijah the prophet, the greatest, you know, one of the greatest prophets, and Hashem did miracles, and, you know, the smoke came down from heaven, and it didn't help. The 10 tribes ultimately went lost. And the prophets were really working to try to get them to change, to come back to, and it didn't work. When Hashem, Hosea spoke to Hashem, you know, and answered him back, so Hosea said, you know what, if they don't work, so take a different people. You know, that's, you don't like them, you're right, you know, sometimes we make that mistake, we get frustrated with our fellow Jews, you know, unfortunately, you'll hear that sometimes, there are good people that, oh, I don't, you know, our people can be so, and it grinds on me, because be careful, don't say anything about my people, even if they are challenging or interesting or sometimes a little rough. If you've ever... Whenever you volunteer your time, you always get, you know, some people say no good deed goes unpunished, right? You know,
yeah. That's,
so, but you have to be very careful. So listen to what happened to Hosea. So Hashem was, he was a little critical of the Jewish people, and he said to Hashem, you know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe forget him. You know, forget the 10 tribes. So, by the way, the lesson was from Moshe Rabbeinu. When, after the golden calf, Hashem said to Moshe, you know what? These people are too stubborn. They're stiff-necked. Let's forget it. I'm going to start from you. So Moshe said, no. He said, forget it. Erase me. He said, I don't want to have any, you have to forgive them. And that's the lesson of the leader of the, he's the head of the prophets, that you don't give up on the Jewish people. But Hosea, he said, you know what? You know, you're right. Maybe you should find a different one. Maybe if they don't behave, forget them. So what Hashem had him do, so there's a debate if this actually happened or he had a vision. Okay? They're both opinions. Hashem told him to take a wife who did not have a good reputation. Take a wife who was a prostitute or a woman who was not known to be very moral. That was Hashem's command. And so when you're a prophet, the boss tells you to do something, you got to do it. So he took a wife. And he had children with her. And the first child's name was Lo Ami. He was told by God what to name them. And the second child was named was Lo Ruchama. I won't take pity. And is that it? Two children?
No, there's
three.
Lo Ami, I think
different
it's the
order.
Third
the first was Yisrael. Okay, that means that Hashem will Hashem will plant you. Hashem will basically, when you take seeds, you scatter them around. You know, you throw them, they get scattered in all directions. So Hashem said he was going to take the Jewish people, that when we were in one place and things were too good, we didn't behave. So Hashem said, I'm going to take you and scatter you. And by the way, when you travel and you see there's one little Jewish community over here, another little Jew, that's that vision that we got scattered around. But seeds, by the way, is a very interesting analogy. We benefit. Jews have helped every country, every civilization. You know, like a few seeds were planted all over the world. But the first prophecy he gave him was Yisrael. The first child will be named Yisrael, which means I'm going to take you and scatter you around, plant you in other places. And then the second child was Lo Ami, and then the third child was Lo Ruchama. You're not my people, and I won't take pity. Because the people were saying, we can do whatever we want. We're God's children. No, no, no. Kids can't do whatever they want. In fact, you're taking the advantage that you're Hashem's children, and you're using that to sin because you're saying, we can do whatever we want. Hashem says, no, you're not. If you act like that, you're not my children. And then other people were saying, we can do whatever we want. Hashem is merciful. So the third child was called Lo Ruchama, no pity. I'm not going to be merciful. Because you can't take a good quality. It's like saying that since somebody's forgiving, you'll sin against them because you know they'll forgive you. That's not right. You're turning their good quality and you're using that to be bad because you think whatever you do, they're going to forgive you. So those were his three children. And Hashem then came to him and told him to divorce his wife. He said, your wife is not faithful, and she pretends like she's loyal, but I'll tell you the truth, she's had other men that have been, and this is Hashem telling Hosea. And Hashem said to Hosea, you know what? And he said, well, how can I leave my wife? I have my children. Hashem said to him, don't be so sure they're your children. Right? So Hosea says, wait a second, Hashem, I can't do it. Even though I'll do anything you say, he said, she's my wife, these are my children, I can't, I'm loyal to them, I made a commitment to this woman, I am not, Hashem said, okay, this is a woman who's not really loyal to you, and these children, you don't even know if they're yours, and look how committed you are to them. So Hashem said to him, now think about it, I am the Hashem of the Jewish people. How did you speak to me that I shouldn't? I should just get rid of them and just dump them and not be committed to them. And that was the message. And he got the message. He understood. In other words, that even though at times we test Hashem and we go against our relationship, His love for us and His commitment to us is eternal, and it'll never. And the Haftorah actually begins. Hashem says, change the child's name. Instead of calling him Lo Ami, call them B'nei Kel Chai, or Ami. And that's, by the way, is a Jewish name today, is Ami. my people. And Ruchama is also a Jewish name. Ruchama means some people have that name, Ruchama. They, instead of Lo Ruchama, I think Mrs. Tendler had that name. I'm sure there are other people who have that name also. But
Their daughter is Ruchama.
Oh, is it the daughter? Okay. I remember that name from that. But that was the message that Hashem. But it's a marriage message too, by the way, that once a person has whoever is meant to be their spouse, and again, sometimes people are in a relationship where they're not meant to be together and they have to go separate, there's a mitzvah to divorce, but if somehow a person knows who's meant to be their spouse, who's their, so that they stay in that marriage through thick and thin. They stand by each other, even if they've done wrong things to each other, even if they've, that ultimately they're in a commitment to each other. Again, there are certain things people can do. If they're unfaithful, then they're not allowed to stay married in different ways. But this it really is a parallel between us and Hashem. And Hashem is saying to us that it's true. We haven't always been the best partner in this relationship. But Hashem is committed to us, and that's the beginning and that's the end. Now you're going to see the middle where he's critical of what happened. But yet, again, the Christians love to talk about the middle. We're an unfaithful wife, and Hashem wants to dump us, and this and that. But when you read the whole thing, especially the beginning and the end, you have no doubts where Hashem is going with the prophecy and the love and the connection. This thing about counting, which is in the Parsha, people count things that are important to them. If you have... When people, they count their money, other people, they have collections and they have things, they count their things. So the counting is a sign that you're important, that you're not just another number. It's the individuals that count. And so Hashem, the Parsha begins that the Jewish people have so many stars, so to speak, so many bright people, you can't count them. There, you can't number the Jewish people. They're too many to be numbered. Now, this is actually talking about messianic times, which, again, it speaks to us because we're waiting for it. We're almost there. We're after the Jewish people have been seeded. We've been scattered around in all the different communities, and we've planted our seeds, and we've rebelled against Hashem, and not every Jew has been loyal. And Hashem speaks to us, and we are as numerous as the sand of the sea. There are Jews everywhere. But Hashem says to them, tell the Jewish people that they are my people. Verse 2, B'nikvesu b'nei Yehuda b'nei Yisrael yachtov. Now, Jews don't always get along. And the first big fight was with the 10 tribes, the B'nai Yisrael and the B'nai Yehuda, which was that's who most of us are from Judah. And they had a civil war and they fought against each other. Hashem says, don't worry, eventually we'll get along. We'll get back together. Even though it seems like a lot of Jews fight with each other, they're going to get together. When they get together, v'sem lehem rosh, they're going to appoint somebody to be the Mashiach, v'olu min ha'aretz, and they will come up, they will come back with this leader, ki gado yom yazriel, and that day will be a very special day. It'll be a great day of Hashem's gathering together. Verse 3, Omar l'acheichem, you will say to your brothers, Ami. You are not lo Ami, but you are Ami. U'lachoseichem, and to your sisters, Ruchama. You are, I have pity you, I love you, I take mercy on you. And so that's the beautiful message. I think that there is a challenge like this. Again, when you read the words of a prophet, you don't know exactly what he's saying. We're going to get this message that Hashem is ready to redeem us. There are millions of Jews who don't, who are estranged from Hashem. They have to be brought back. Some of them, it's not going to be easy to get them back, to get them to come and to join us and to be one. We've always assumed that kind of the Mashiach will do the talking. He'll talk to all those estranged Jews, and hopefully he'll lead the way. But we might have to show our caring and concern and try to help. There again, we don't know what that time will how that'll work. In other words, what's going to happen to all those people who don't know anything about Hashem and don't want to know or don't keep any of the rules and haven't wanted to keep any of the rules and haven't been faithful and haven't. So we're going to have to, they're good people. Some of them are just confused. So we need to win them over. So he describes it over here. He says, at this time, he says, Rivu be'imkem, go fight with your mother. You know, it's there's nobody harder to fight with than your mother. Right? I mean, it's how do you fight? But sometimes you got to do it, right? So that's like the analogy here. Rivu kihilo. And he says like this, you tell your mother that she's, now again, it's almost like Hashem is the groom, so to speak, but you tell your mother that she's not acting like my wife, and I'm not going to be her husband. And she has to stop, remove the immoral behavior, her boyfriend's from in front of her, and remove her behaviors. She has not been loyal. Again, it's a metaphor. Verse 5, Penap Yitanu Aruma, lest I take her and take away, Hashem bestows upon us kindness and wealth and many things. And Hashem said, I could take it, everything that I've given you away and bring you back to where you were before I knew you. Before Hashem knew us, we were slaves. In other words, we were a slave people, and we didn't even have our own freedom, and Hashem took us out from Egypt, and he gave us wealth, and he gave us a country, and he educated us, and he took care of us, and he healed us, and he did everything for us. So Hashem says, you don't want to be in the relationship with me? You know what? I'll take everything back, and you'll go back to where you were before I knew you. Just like you were born, Vesamti Bamidbor, and you'll be in like a desert. Vashitik Eretzio, and you'll be without Hashem's blessings, you'll be dried out, Bamita, and you would die of thirst. Verse 6, what about the children? Even if the adults don't deserve it, there's children. Vesbaneha lo arachem, even their children I won't take pity. Ki b'nei znunim heim, because they are children of immoral behavior. Verse 7, ki zansa ima, because their mother has sinned, has fooled around. Hovisha Rasam has embarrassed of the parents. Ki Amra Elcha Achre Moavai, the mother has said, I'll go after my lovers. Now it's interesting also, the Jewish people always falls in love with foreign cultures. There's something about it that the Jews are in the head of every movement. You know, they always they fall in love. They think these cultures will love them back. And the mother, so to speak, which represents a part of the Jewish people who we're very close to, they say to us, I don't want to follow Hashem. I'd rather follow these other religions or this other ideas that are out there. Nastu lachmi, they give me bread. Umeimai, simri, pishti, and they look, they allow me to do so many things. They allow me to enjoy food and water and flax and oil and all the good stuff. So if I become religious, I'll have to give up all the good stuff. Little did they realize that Hashem has given them the good stuff out of his mercy. So therefore, l'kehine shachas darchecha. So first what Hashem will do is he will close off the ways that they're able to go after their lovers, so to speak. He will make it more difficult for them to follow these strange ways. It describes it like, apparently the metaphor is that the wife would sneak out at night. And so what he did was he put up a fence in back of the house and put thorns and put things there in the way. And this way, she won't be able to sneak out because there'll be an obstacle course. But Rotas Mova, and she'll try to find these lovers, and she won't find them. We've Kashmo Simpsons. So let's take away the alcohol. Let's take away the lovers. And then she'll figure, well, if I can't have my boyfriend, Omar El Khashu, maybe I should go back to my first husband, because then it'll be better for me. To some extent, that happened in the Holocaust. You had people that weren't living a Jewish life at all. For dozens of years, some people, their parents had converted to be non-Jews and had lived a life of non-Jews, and all of a sudden they found themselves with Jews in a concentration camp. And so Hashem said, like, you know, I'm going to take away your choices. V'hi lo yada, verse 10, and they don't know, ki anochi nesati lo. Even the people that think that they'd rather be wealthy and they'd rather enjoy all the benefits of society than serve Hashem, they don't realize that it's Hashem that makes them so wealthy. It's Hashem that gives them all that stuff to begin with. Hadogan, Vatirosh, Vayitzer, the wine, the wheat, the oil, the gold, the silver, Vizav, gold. And what do? They use that for Baal. They use that, instead of using it for good things, they use it for bad things. So verse 11, L'chein Ashu L'kachti. So Hashem says, you know what? I'm going to go and take it back. Be'iti v'ti roshu m'mod. I'm going to take the salty tzimri. I'm going to take the flax and the wine and the gold and the silver and pishti. And they won't be able to even cover up their nakedness. In other words, they've sinned and they pretend that they don't sin. Verse 12, and I will show their duplicity in front of their lovers. And nobody will save them. In other words, the Jewish people that were living at the land were, they wanted it both ways. They had great wealth and they worshipped idols. And Vishpati komasos chaga. And Hashem says, many of them, we don't, it's very strange. To some extent, we have religious people and non-religious people. Then, in those days, everybody was religious. And everybody, they didn't eat pig, and they didn't work on the Sabbath, and they celebrated the holidays. But at the same time, they worshipped idols. So we're not used to that. If we figure if you're going to worship idols, you might as well be a goy, you know, like you might as well. But when we look at it, if you made the decision to be observant, then you're not going to do all. But they lived in a society where the people, they worshipped Hashem, and they went to the temple, and they kept Shabbos, and then they committed adultery, and they worshipped the Baal, and they did all that other stuff. So Hashem says, no more Shabbos, Vishpati kol matzo chago, chadosho, and no more Rosh Chodesh, which is coming up, is it tomorrow? Yeah, tomorrow, mm-hmm. I think, is Rosh Chodesh. Vishafza kol ma'adeha. And what about all the good, the bounty that they had? Verse 14, Vishimosi gafna, Hashem says, Eretz Yisrael, which was a land full of bounty, I'm going to take away the vines. It's interesting, they've had success in bringing wine back to Israel. You know, there hadn't been wine planted in Israel in 1,000 years, and they've recultivated it as a place to grow wine, and they're doing quite well.
Yeah, it's,
they have some award-winning ones. It's interesting because nobody thought that that was a place that would be good for growing wine. But we see from Tanakh that it always was a place of great wine. Utenaso and figs and Asher Omar Etna Hemali Asher Nosali Moavai. They thought that all that bounty was given to them by their lovers. There's something there, Hashem said, I'm going to take that away. Verse 15. And they'll be punished for the idols that they worshipped. What's interesting is the some of the cities around there are still called Baal. I think they have that name on some of the Syrian cities. They still have the name of the ancient idols that were very prevalent in those times. Take away the earrings. And she was just interested in going after her lovers, so to speak. And she forgot me, Nuh Hashem. So what does Hashem say? Verse 16. L'chein, therefore, hinei anochi mefateha. And Hashem says, so what do you do? In other words, the Jewish people is wedded to other ideologies. They no longer think in terms of serving Hashem and doing mitzvahs, and they want a different kind of lifestyle, and they're not loyal to you. Try to tell them, this is the way of our forefathers. This is the way, look at Hashem, as, you know, everything Hashem has given us, and they don't want to hear the message. So first Hashem will try to take away their ability to go after these things, and they still won't hear the message. So Hashem says, Hinei anochi mefateha v'halaktiha. What I'll have to do is I'll speak to her, I'll seduce her, I will try to court her again. That's where the romance comes in. V'halaktiha, and I'll take her to a place where she won't, the desert. One of the reasons the Torah was given in the desert was there was nothing else there. There was nothing else to, it was an empty place. So it's almost like the Torah will be re-given. The relationship will start again. A lot of times people have like so many other things in their life. Often a relationship, if the person has other boyfriends or girlfriends, they can't get back to their spouse because their life is too complicated. Because they have all these other relationships or old relationships, or one of the challenges today of Facebook is that people still keep their old acquaintances and friends, and they don't disappear. So life is too complicated. They email them, "What's doing? You wanted to have it, you know?" And so people have a much harder time keeping their spouses loyal. So Hashem says, "You know what? Maybe we need to go somewhere where no one will bother us. Let's go back to the desert. Let's I'll speak to you. V'dibarta aliba, I'll speak to your heart. V'nasati lo'as karmeha, and I'll give you back the vineyards. V'es emek akur lepesek tikva, and there'll be hope for us to shama. And you know what? We'll go back to, we'll have a new honeymoon. We'll take our vows again. We will recharge this relationship." Just like when we left Egypt, just like when we first started. And there's such a big truth to that, that many times spouses are very compatible and they are committed to each other, and there are other things that complicate their lives, and they need to go back to the uncomplicated time, and they need to make their vows again, just like when they started, and do a redo. We believe one of the concepts of having like a Rosh Chodesh and a Rosh Hashanah and a Shavuos, we don't celebrate the old Matan Torah. We believe that the Torah is being given new. In other words, we recommit ourselves. We make a new relationship because you have to constantly reinvigorate things. You have to do them again. So what's going to happen? Verse 18. V'haya v'yomahu nu ma'ashem tikri ishi. And then you will be, the relationship will be a stronger relationship. Then we will be connected. Then I won't be a master. A spouse isn't supposed to be a master. They're supposed to be a spouse. Another, a baal is like somebody in charge of me. You won't call me my husband, the one that's like, you know, tell me what to do, but you will say my ishi, the one that's committed to me, my better half. Verse 19, and then when you recommit to each other, and you won't mention the idols anymore. You'll stop mentioning them. You will have no need to remember them. And you won't mention them. And Hashem said, we'll make a new covenant. And it's interesting, he mentions that there'll be a new covenant together with all the creatures of the world. I don't know what that's about exactly. The birds and the creatures and and we'll do away with war. We'll make a new kind of life which will no longer have a need for war. Again, I'm not sure where the animals fit in Mina Oretz Vishpat. Maybe that I think the animals, when we do what we're supposed to, then the animals won't act up. They won't be hostile. They'll be together with us. Vishkaftu Nevetach, and we no longer will have to worry about war and swords and enemies and wild animals. And at that time, verse 21, and we get back to, and again, I mentioned this, when you put on your tefillin every morning, you put the ring part on, you say this part, that we are bound to Hashem. But it refers to us as a people, that erastically, we are connected to Hashem. La'olam, forever. It's not a, you try it, and if it goes, it doesn't, no. We're bound to Hashem forever. Varastically bitzedek, and we are connected with him in righteousness, uba mishpat, and doing the right thing, uba chesed urachamim. And if we don't do the right thing, we're still committed to each other with kindness. A spouse has to, instead of what's in the marriage for me, a spouse sees it as a way to do kindness for the other. In other words, one of the basis for a relationship is chesed, is to what can we do for each other? How can we help each other? Uberachamim and mercy, but rustically bemuna, and then finally with faith, v'yadata es Hashem. And then we will know Hashem. The word, when it says that Adam and Chava got together, it says, v'yada Adam es Chava ishto. They knew each other. What does that mean, they knew each other? It means they connected. They became like one. It uses that same word over here, that we know Hashem. We become intimate with Hashem. And so it's a beautiful... It's a beautiful Haftorah. Again, you can't get hung up on the imagery in the middle, because that's we've got to shake ourselves into being loyal to our spouse and into being connected, and to not to mention the names of the idols and to throw them away. And but the message is clear that we are Hashem's, and we have our ups and downs, but ultimately that we have this connection, which again is also a Shavuos message.
No, it's the good gate at Metula. Is it Isaiah where it says that the lion will?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So maybe there'll be so much peace.
Mm-hmm.
Could it mean that because he came after?
Yeah, so I think that's part of the messianic message. How could it be that once man doesn't fight with each other, so even the animal world won't fight with us? In other words, well, even nature will. We live in a world where nature can be hostile. That today there's this hurricane storms that are hitting today, or
God's
that
washing the world.
But that part of the messianic idea is once man doesn't fight with each other, even our environment will be friendly to us, and you know, then the animal world as well.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.